The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
It's good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We have a new face and voice today. Taylor Mathis is going to be with us. She is with Super Sports Book. She is going to break down the Suns in Dallas tonight. We're going to talk about the NFL playoffs. I've seen her work. She is in Scottsdale. I don't know if she's in Scottsdale today, but it's like, we should have her on the show. So I know there's a lot of people out there that are into the numbers and all of that, which is great. So we're going to have Taylor with us here in a few minutes. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. That is Desert Financial Credit Union. We, as always, appreciate their ongoing support. We've been off the last couple of days, and I have been in a space of having people ask, are the Cardinals going to fire Cliff Kingsbury and Kyler Murray can't play, and all sorts of overreactions. And then I think that there's some truth in both places. The average lifespan of an Arizona Cardinal coach is about 3 years. It's about three and a half years. Just go back and look. It's Michael Bidwell's way of doing business, the Bidwell way of doing business. Unless your name is Ken Whisenhunt, your chances are pretty good that after three and a half, maybe you get to the fourth year, but usually not. You're gone. And so with the way that the narrative is out there, it's true that the team collapses in the second half of the season. Well, we had injuries. Every team has injuries. And then just a no-show for the playoff game on Monday night. Cliff's already on the hot seat for next year. When we get into the dead of summer and websites are dying to get clicks, just dying, they're going to do five coaches who are on the hot seat because they're dying to do it. I'm just telling you here on January 20th, it's really not that hard. He's on the hot seat, and he should be on the hot seat, and there should be more than a few questions. You know, Vance Joseph takes off and takes the Miami Dolphins job or wherever it is that he lands, I'd be surprised if he's back here next season. Kyler Murray, once again, it's the way it works being a quarterback in the NFL. If you can't have a deep playoff run or get a team to a Super Bowl, and with the way that it finished for him, and he just looked skittish. There's no other way to put it. And the familiarity of not having DeAndre Hopkins is one thing, but man, he just had the look of get me out of here. And so the offseason of just going through an update, upgrading, no, you have to overhaul. You have to go find Rodney Hudson's at every position, then Rodney Hudson's behind Rodney Hudson's, so you don't sit there every year and say, well, you know, our offensive line was really beat up, because fans don't want to hear that. You know, I think Steve Keim did a really good job in going out this offseason, even the regular season. Zach Ertz was a really good pickup. Anybody who said he's not just hates on the Cardinals. No reason for that. So, you know, that is part of it. Now I'm looking ahead towards this weekend, and Tampa Bay is beat up. Like, Tampa Bay is really beat up. Wirfs isn't going to play their right tackle. He's probably one of the best right tackles in the game. Philadelphia got to Tom Brady last week four times. And to think that Aaron Donald and Von Miller and that group's not going to get to him more than that, you got to look at Buccaneers and say, the Rams can get through this. Because it can't just be Captain America, 44 years of age back there without much help. Running back, they're beat up. Gio Bernard's probably going to be a big impact for them if he's able to go, if he's able to play. He did last week. He looked good. But, you know, for the Buccaneers, do they really have what it takes to take down the Rams? Rams just look like a team that is catching Tampa at the right time. I was amused by the Bruce Arians grabbing a player and being condemned by the league. There's a lot of things in the league that they should be making big statements about. A lot of things. But Bruce Arians being caught on camera, and he was warned that that's not what you want out of a head coach. It's, you know, overreaching, in my opinion, at this time of the year. When you get to this point, you have emotion that takes hold. And I felt like he was, you know, Bruce is fiery. We know that from him being here. So I was amused by that yesterday. The other games, like the 49ers going to Dallas, winning, coming back from Dallas, having to go to Green Bay, partying their butts off probably after working over the Cowboys. Getting refocused and back at it, I'm expecting Aaron Rodgers to roll in that one. I'm expecting the Titans to take care of the Bengals. And when it comes right down to it, Chiefs-Bills is by far the most interesting game. There's been a lot of complaints about how the opening weekend was not filled with great games. Yeah, there's very few really good teams in this league. Very few. And the ones that are lucky enough to escape, whether it's injury or inconsistent play or whatever the issues are, by the time you get to here, it's not usually the teams that are the best. Like the Pittsburgh Steelers making the playoffs, come on, that was low-grade dog food. That was. And even Steeler fans would admit to that. So some of the other things today that that are on my mind, I think there's a really good college basketball, sneaky good game tonight. So Stephen F. Austin is one of those squads that makes it into the tournament. I remember a couple years ago they beat Duke. So this is the first time that GCU is down there at Stephen F. Austin that I recall since they had the new alignment with the conference. I believe this is their first ever showing down there. But that's a tough place to play. You're in Nacogdoches, Texas. The Lopes are favored by 2.5. They're in first place. That game is tonight. It's been hard to get into college basketball because of all the stops, all the starts. Like, I think U of A is the best team out there. They're going to play ASU the way it sounds now. A week from Saturday afternoon, I'm going to be in Tucson to check that out because I want to see U of A in person. I can't make much out of Arizona State other than fans, as usual, want Bobby Hurley fired. And it just may be in Bobby's case we're getting to the point where the program needs to push reset. I'm not saying it's there yet, but I'm not expecting Marcus Bagley to play at all this year. I'm not. Bobby's trying to coach through COVID. This is a guy that had lung injuries and is a motorcycle accident. He shouldn't even be on the floor right now. And, you know, they stop, they start, they stop, they start. They look sloppy. People are like, oh, this is really ugly basketball. Well, yeah, they haven't played in 20. Not only have they not played, they haven't been practicing together. They're not even allowed in the facility once they get hit by COVID. You got to get through it. So college basketball has just been wonky. I think that's the only way to put it. A few other things I'll get to later in the show. But up next, we're going to switch gears. We're going to hook up and get caught up with Taylor Mathis from Super Sportsbook. That is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, let's take a minute here to talk about DraftKings. This is important, guys. The football season is rolling on. New users can bet $5 to win $200 in free bets if your team wins this week, thanks to our partnership with DraftKings. Really happy to have them on board. Here's how to claim this offer. Sign up for a DraftKings Sportsbook account. Make your first-time deposit of $5 or more. Place a $5-plus wager on your football team, and if they win, you win $200 in free bets. It's that easy. Just go to dkng.co/sports360 to claim this offer. Again, that's dkng.co/sports360 to claim this offer. Act now. This offer won't be around forever, thanks to DraftKings. All right, as promised, fresh face, fresh voice, Taylor Mathis. Seen her work, Super Sportsbook. You can give her a follow at TMath, capital T, right? 11792, yep. Right?
That TMath 11792, yep.
All right, at Super Sportsbook. All right, so people are like, oh, someone new. What is your story? What is your story, Taylor, with what you're doing?
Yeah, so I was kind of telling you, I went to the University of Iowa. I'm originally from the Midwest. And I got my degree in sports studies and journalism. Right after college, I started right off the bat going the local TV route in sports. Went to a station in Iowa, worked there for a bit. Then I moved to Nebraska, central Nebraska specifically. Stayed there, so Big Ten was kind of my wheelhouse for quite a while. Then I moved to the Dallas area and got into the digital side of things with sports. And I was doing a lot of NFL there. And then I got an opportunity out here in the Scottsdale, Phoenix area, covering the Suns for a company called Playmakers for 2 seasons. And then COVID hit, and I have now moved into the sports gambling space and now work for Superbook Sports doing hosting and content. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. What was the worst job that you've had so far in broadcast?
Because we all have. In broadcasting specifically?
Yeah. You're just like, what am I doing? What is
it? I'm not going to lie, local TV was not my thing. Working in Nebraska was definitely an eye-opener for me. I was getting out of college, and I'm like, this is my first job. I was pretty much willing to move anywhere that I got an opportunity. And my parents were kind of the ones that like brought me back down to my level. And they were like, you got to think about finances and life and how you're going to afford things. And you can't just take the first offer you get if you're not going to be able to live. Yeah. And I guess I kind of really realized that, but I kind of went against my mom's wishes and I moved pretty far from home to central Nebraska, knew absolutely no one and covered a lot of high school sports, which was really fun. And sometimes the best stories come out of a lot of local sports, which was great. I think I just more than anything, like missed my family on top of the amount of driving and living in the middle of nowhere that I did. It was just a little different than what I was used to. So I feel like once I kind of got into the digital realm, I felt like I really hit my stride because that's where I feel like I thrive is doing a little bit more creative content as opposed to things that are a little bit more buttoned up on local TV.
No, that's a really, really good answer. Buttoned up. You're understating it. Taylor Mathis with us. You can follow her at tmath11792, but she's with Super Sports Book. All right. So how did Super Sports Book come to you? What was the attraction? What is it you're doing now? Maybe mom's advice about finance is really good because you are killing it with numbers.
So I got started with Superbook Sports, essentially. I got into betting, I guess it would have been almost a year ago now at this point. And a smaller betting company called Bet Karma had reached out to me during COVID. Like I said before, I was covering the Suns and I was loving sidelining and I was doing digital content for Playmakers. So a lot of, you know, player interviews and post game interviews and analysis and that type of thing, which was great. And I had not done any type of sports betting in my entire life. But Bet Karma had reached out to me, their company that really focuses more on the numbers and helping you make smarter bets. Okay. And they really wanted me to get into doing a lot of video plays for them. So I kind of started with that on the digital side and I got specifically very into prop betting and I kind of became known on social media as one of the prop betting girls. And that's kind of how a lot of opportunities in the gambling industry have now like started to really flourish for me. So now I've moved to working for a sports book full time and I'm absolutely loving it. It's great. I'm putting out content daily. So it's super fun. And I'm getting a lot of opportunities to travel for games and opportunities in Vegas now for different gambling things. So it's been fun.
Cool. That's really cool. And you're in Scottsdale.
Yes, I'm in Scottsdale.
Yeah, so you're local. That was my thing. She's right here in our backyard. Yeah. All right, so prop bets. Let's get into this. Suns play at Dallas tonight. I'm looking at this, and I know you don't have props. We're talking off air. You don't have props around this game, but I'm looking at this like this has got to be the easiest money. Or the Suns are favored by 3. The Mavs played last night. It's a back-to-back. It's the end of a road trip, so there is that. The Suns looking to just get home after being gone 9 days.
Right.
But overarching on this, Taylor, where are you at with the Suns? And you do have a Suns giveaway, too, that I want to work in. But where are you at on the Suns and, like, watching them in your space?
Oh, well, the Suns right now, like I said, I pay attention mostly. My two main sports are NFL and baseball, actually, of all things. A lot of people are like MLB. But since I've moved to Arizona, I feel like I've grown such a fandom for the Suns because how can you not? They're so fun to watch. And I mean, I'm high on the Suns right now. We are the best team in the entire league. The Mavs have been surging, though, right now, and they look very good. But I'm like, the Suns are going for 5 in a row at this point. Like you said, the Mavs coming off back-to-back games now. They don't know if Porzingis is going to sit tonight or not. I feel like that could affect things. I like the Suns, but I honestly like it at a smaller margin. Like you said, they're favored by 3, but I actually like it at, like on the alternative line at like 1.5. I'm a little nervous just because of how good they've been since Luka's come back from injury for the Mavs. So I still like the Suns to win this one outright, but I like the spread just a little bit smaller for them.
All right. So you have a giveaway too. Work that in.
I do.
Fire away.
Yeah. Yes. So for our giveaway that we're doing right now on my Twitter, TMath11792, all you got to do is follow me and Superbook Sports Arizona because Superbook just opened out here for betting in Arizona as of January 1st. So, you know, we're a newer book out here in the Valley. So we're trying to get people to sign up. see who we are as a company. And as part of that, we are doing a giveaway for Suns Jazz tickets, which I believe is January 24th. So that's Monday next week. And they're lower level seats too. They're great seats. So all you have to do is follow me and Superbook Sports Arizona on Twitter, and you're entered to possibly win some free tickets.
Yeah. And she's in a Suns jersey. She's rocking the Suns gear. She's having fun with it, which is
always, but I'm originally from Chicago. So I've got a Bulls fandom as well. So I've got the best team in the West and the best team in the East right now. I can't complain.
No, there's no question about that. All right. The NFL this weekend. Which game do you like most? I'm looking at Bucks, Rams, like really intriguing. Other games, yeah, I can make storylines. Chiefs, Bills, I can make storylines. But from your perspective, the numbers, the games that are of most interest to you.
So I feel like you were just saying, a lot of people are really high on that Rams-Bucks game. I think because of the excitement behind it, it's Tom Brady yet again, of course, on his way to possibly another Super Bowl. And then you've got the Rams who are surging right now, and they looked unbelievable on Monday against the Cardinals. The Cardinals just look dismal in comparison. So I particularly, though, actually really like the Bengals-Titans game because I feel like a lot of people aren't really talking about it. They're already counting out both those teams. Whoever gets to the AFC championship game, they're already kind of counting them out, whether it's against the Bills or the Chiefs. I like that game specifically for gambling because I really like Cincinnati against the spread. 3.5 points, I think, is a really good number to look at. Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase as a duo have been hot. Joe Burrow threw for 525 yards against Baltimore, 446 yards against Kansas City. And now he just got a playoff win for the Bengals for the first time in 31 years against the Raiders. I like them. I even would sprinkle a little bit of money on the money line for the Bengals against the Titans. I feel like the Titans are going to be based a lot off of if Derrick Henry comes back at full health or not. If he does, I think they're going to slow down pace of play a little bit because they're going to run the ball a lot. If he's not full health, I feel like the Bengals have a better chance, especially with their pass offense.
All right. That's a good one. That's a good one. Before I get you out of here, we passed over the props on the NBA. You got a couple, you were telling me.
I do. So first one I like is in that Bengals-Titans game. I like CJ Usma. I'm like, I hope I said his name correctly because I feel like I mess it up every time. But right, I got the line earlier this week at 30.5 over on his receiving yards. I think the line's bumped up to 31.5, but I still like the over. He had 6 receptions last week against the Raiders on 6 targets. So he was 6 for 6, 64 yards and a touchdown. He's gone over that number in 4 out of his last 5 games. I think that one's a no-brainer. Another game that I was looking at is the Packers 49ers game. I'm thinking that I like Aaron Jones over on his rush yards as well in that game. We do see the San Francisco 49ers have the 4th best rush defense, but I feel like he's going to get involved a little bit more and they're not going to just strictly be throwing to Davante Adams the entire time. They may have to switch some things up as Aaron Rodgers needs to beat the 49ers for once in the playoffs.
Yeah, and there's some injuries over on that defensive side of the football for the 49ers,
yes,
too.
Yes.
So, no, that's some good stuff. That's some good stuff. Do you have any NBA props for tonight?
I don't. No NBA props yet for tonight. I haven't had a chance to look at the lines yet.
You'll do
your thing, I like the lean on the Suns against the spread right now.
That's good stuff. And she puts content up on her Twitter. So, guys, you can follow her and check her out again at TMath11792. Taylor, you killed it. Come back sometime.
Thank you. I would love to.
All right. There's Taylor Mathis. We're back with more after this timeout. The football season rolls on. New users can bet $5 to win $200 in free bets if your team wins this week thanks to our partnership with DraftKings. Here's how to claim this offer. You sign up for a DraftKings Sportsbook account. That's easy. Make your first time deposit of $5 or more. That's simple. Place a $5 plus wager on your football team, and if they win, you win $200 in free bets. That's right. Just go to dkng.co/sports360 to claim this offer. Again, that's dkng.co/sports360. Act now. This offer won't be around forever. All right, that was fun. That was fun. I like having new faces and new voices here on the stream. And it was good to catch up with Taylor. Taylor Mathis, you can follow her over on Twitter. All right, so the Suns game tonight, and we talked a little bit about it. Now that the Cardinals are in the rearview mirror, we're still in the dog days of the NBA season. You know, the Suns tight. In my opinion, they should win. I think it's going to be a good game. It's a TNT game. It's a 5:30 game, which tells me that the NBA league offices are saying, we got to get the Suns more national attention. If you put the Suns on in the typical 8 p.m. window, the second game of their doubleheader on Thursday nights, only the West Coast sees it. There's a lot of business stuff when you see things go down. And this is, like, Devin Booker is not even close to being named as an all-star starter, and Klay Thompson is. Like, just people haven't seen him enough. And people here are like, oh, outraged, overlooked. Ah. No, it's the way it is. People on the East Coast don't stay up and watch. So you got to find creative ways, and one of those is an early tip, not the usual Boston Knicks or, you know, Hawks Memphis deal. Let's put Dallas and the Suns on in our big window, and they're going to hype up Devin Booker tonight, as they should. But I feel like it's getting to the point where the All-Star game comes, and then you can really start paying attention. But there's some of you that are really into it day in and day out, and that's fine. Suns have a 3-game lead in the West. They are the best record in the NBA. They've had COVID. They've had some injuries. And yet, here they are still doing their thing in the early part of the season. There's a reason why the NBA is talking about having like a playoff in December, because the games in October, November, December really don't mean much of anything. And they've got to recapture that, because guys like me have seen through this through the years. Like, these games, the quality of play early in the year versus get back to me in mid, late March, early April, it's like a different game, because they know they're just aiming for games 5 months from now. So they're just, it's inherent that what you see on the floor most nights is not the best product. It just is. And it's the same thing with the NFL. Players are not, games and people are like, how did that happen in September and October? Because they tell you they're not into it as much. It's just the way that the leagues are going. You can't expect the players to go year-round. They want to hit their incentives. They want to be healthy for playoffs. What is it? OBJ the other night got a $500,000 incentive for getting in and being part of a playoff-winning team just by being in. And, you know, he's not needing to be on the field in games in September and October anymore. It's just changing the space of things. I'm going to do a deep dive on next week's TV show, and it'll show up here on the site. I've taken the tact, and I don't know if you've noticed this or not, Jordan Hamm, who does our recruiting roundup segment, I've transitioned him off of it, and Claudia is now doing it, Claudia Collins, and she's doing great. She's been doing it for a couple weeks. We have seen where the transfer portal in college football has completely changed the face of the sport as we know it. And on top of that, name, image, likeness is changing the sport completely. I was with a business guy yesterday who's been doing an NIL with Jaden Daniels. And I'm fascinated when I hear the behind the scenes and numbers and all of that that takes place to get the NIL deal done. Caleb Williams, the Oklahoma quarterback who transferred out, is sitting there, and the word's out in the open that it's his dad is saying, I want X amount of dollars in NIL, and we'll probably come play for you. He's not going to go to UCLA now because that's what happened. And there's some other places that are sitting there saying, hey, we're Ole Miss. Now JT Daniels has entered the portal, the quarterback at Georgia that couldn't get on the field this year that was formerly highly recruited. So where's JT Daniels going to end up? A kid like Chuba Purdy, who we documented his journey over the last 7-8 weeks. He shows up in Nebraska. This morning it was -1 degrees. I was talking to the dad this morning about it, and he's there. Now he's getting settled in, and he's going to be the guy at Nebraska. At least he believes he's going to be. What's happening is, if you're a high school quarterback, this is directed towards, if you're a dad and you're in your 30s and you're coming into your 40s when typically you're in your high school years and you believe that your kid is a quarterback, quarterbacks are the ones that are getting squeezed because there's only one of them that can play. And the amount of crazy dads that I'm coming across is, I had a call last night from a friend who's in that space. And their kid is going to a smaller college. He's there for one day and he wants out because he believes he's not going to get the shot. I'm like, I'm not even talking to you guys. And I get these calls. I should open a consulting business. I really should. Or a therapist. Be a therapist for quarterback dads. Because quarterback dads just, many of them, not all of them, but many of them just are, oh, why would we go to Idaho State? How could you suggest such a thing? Or NAU? Or Arizona Christian? How could you? We would never go to Wyoming. Oh, I guess it didn't work out for Josh Allen, right? We'd never go to these small, Tony Romo didn't work out for him, right? Oh, that was years ago. Didn't work out for Aaron Rodgers, right? Went to community college. And so through the years, I've just learned that when the daddy baller starts telling me, well, here's the tape of my kid at sevens, I don't watch that stuff. I don't watch that stuff. And you're not going to see it very much, if at all, on this site or on the TV show. You're just not. I am too well to attend on that front. When you play high school ball and you are playing with your friends and you're going to come out of there with a sense of normalcy versus you're the greatest, and daddy baller is like, you're the greatest, I'm the greatest because it's my kid. Just had enough of that. So I'm not going to be a crusader against it. It's just I'm hearing more and more dads of high school quarterbacks that are losing their minds. And then you have these quarterbacks that are in the portal that thought they were all that, and they're not getting the opportunity. And then you have quarterbacks that are in a space that they're in a quarterback room that now has five or six dudes in the last month. And I know some of these kids, and it's, you need to get out. I'm not going to tell them that, but they call me and say, what do you think my chances are? Why are you asking me? Go ask your coach. Go ask your position coach. Well, I really don't trust them. Then you might want to go. Or this is what you sign up for. So the free agency in the portal where dads are now negotiating and wanting X amount of dollars in order for their kid to transfer in to be the next quarterback at college. And the interest in it is stunning. It's stunning. I can just tell you, and I'm not one that sits here every day and looks at what stories that we have on our site that are getting the most views and we're going to push those out further. Yeah, a lot of places do that. I don't. I look for rich organic content. And there's times where you have to go deep into a story because the demand is there by audience. And the demand on transfer portal quarterbacks is insane. It is. It's kind of like fantasy football stuff with Fabs. It's just crazy. I'm pulling the curtain back a little bit. But it's, and on the high school end, it's now there's rumblings of high school kids that are already trolling to try to get NIL money while they're in high school because they've committed to college. And you're going to go to high school games, you're going to start to see more and more high school kids saying, yeah, I'm too well to attend. If my team is 3-3 and I already have my college ride, why would I play for my high school? And I'm hoping a college just pulls their deal when that happens. It's selfish. It just is. What's business? You don't know if you're going to the NFL. You're just lucky that you're one of the few that's even made it to college. So be a teammate, not a selfish dude. That's my little rant for the day. And that's about it. That's what's on my mind for today. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. We appreciate his support as always. And it was fun chopping it up with Taylor Mathis. Give her a follow over at Super Sports Book. This show repeats over and over and over. We will see you tomorrow with the TV show.